HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman, hosted by Carl Franklin. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 92, recorded live Monday, December 10th, 2007. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. Support is also provided by .NET Developers Journal, the world's leading .NET developer magazine. Online at www.sys-con.com. In this episode, Scott talks about the past, present, and future of Visual Basic with Principal VB Architect Paul Vick and VB Team Program Manager Paul Yupnovich.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes, and I'm sitting here in Building 41 in the Microsoft campus, and I am privileged to talk to Paul Yupnovich, lead program manager on the VB team, and Paul Vick, architect on the VB team. Thanks, guys, for taking the time to talk to me.
Thanks.
So I've got this idea in my mind, this idea of a blog post, and I've been working on writing it, and it may actually come out by the time that I have put this podcast up on the net. And the title is Rooting for Visual Basic Like Rooting for the Red Sox? Because it seemed to me like, I mean, I started out as a VB guy. I think everyone ultimately at some point in their life was a VB person. You know, with the Red Sox, people spent 80 years kind of suffering and, you know, they loved their team and it wasn't winning and it wasn't winning. And now there's this new generation who discovered the Red Sox when they were winning. So now it's suddenly easy. And then the news came out recently that VB is the number one .NET language. How would you describe this news?
Sure. Yeah, I'd just say that VB is the most used .NET language and the most used Microsoft language. So that's kind of a title we had a long time ago, and it's one that, you know, we're looking at the data again. We see that again.
And how do you measure something like that? How do you say, you know, when we were saying we're awesome, we're the best, you base this on what metric?
Yeah, we have a few different metrics and proxies for the metric. So we run our own survey, which we call DTS, and I can't talk too much about that.
Sure.
But that's really what we use to run the business. And then you can look at some external things, like you could look at the Forrester research that was put out there in 2007, also in 2005. Mm-hmm. There's some good indicators there. Sometimes we look at our Express downloads, right? So we have VB Express and kind of the whole Express line that went out there. Mm-hmm. We can measure downloads and also registrations. Downloads kind of tell us, you know, what's the initial interest, and then registrations tell us how many people were interested in the product to keep using it and give us a little bit more information.
So it's a kind of conversion. They're allowed to use it for a number of period of
exactly
days.
Exactly right. It's kind of a conversion rate. So I can tell you about the Express numbers. You know, VB's actually in the first place. And actually in second place is C++, which would surprise
C++?
Yeah, which would surprise a lot of people.
Wow.
And that's about, let's say, 20% kind of lower number in downloads.
Okay.
So that just gives you some facts and, you know, lets us look at some of the momentum. You know, obviously, there's a lot of other indicators we could be looking at.
Did this surprise you guys? It surprised me. It surprised me to the point where I still don't believe you.
Okay. I'm really not surprised because, you know, we talk to enthusiasts and learning programmers and really just the masses of pro developers. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when you're really speaking to the VB audience. So,
yeah, so
I'm
this gets
surprised.
Into my Red Sox analogy that suddenly it's easy to root for VB. I wonder if the old timers have some of that, you know, back when VB wasn't popular, we stayed with you. We fought and fought and fought and said that this was the language. This was the language. And now suddenly you're number one.
Yep.
That's pretty amazing. So how long have you been on the team?
I've been on the team for about almost 8 years.
Wow. So forever.
Yep. And I saw the ball go under Buckner's legs too. So I can definitely relate
to
your
analogy. So you understand where you're coming from. That's good.
I feel
better about my analogy now. So what is VB written in?
I'll pass this up to Paul Vick.
Okay. So most of the compiler is written in C++. Well, actually, it's really more C, but when we use the C++ compiler, we use mostly sort of standard C with a little bit of C++ features thrown in there. Although there is a chunk of it, the runtime component is all written in Visual Basic itself. So all the late binding and language helpers and all the language, all the library functions are all written in VB.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, I remember when Visual Basic .NET came out, there was this kind of uncomfortable transition. People were feeling like, is this really Visual Basic, or is this some new thing that we've added .NET to? Do you feel that those kind of that painful time has passed that transition is over?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're definitely past that. I mean, I think that a lot of it was even more than the language itself. It was the transition to a whole new framework. I mean, basically, you know, the whole framework was changed out from under people. And I think that now that we've had almost 6 years of stability with that, it's like, you know, a lot of people have made the transition. There's definitely some stragglers that, you know, it's mm-hmm. have really big code bases or whatever, for whatever reason. But we're definitely seeing good migration.
I remember when it first came out, the big question was about speed. And I think people spent at least 18 months just panicking and writing for loops with a million, 4-1 to a million. Well, clearly VB is faster. And it was just kind of ridiculous benchmarks. But
right.
Ultimately, I think it was Reflector for me that just proved the point when I went in and just saw that, well, you know, IL is IL.
Right. Right. Exactly. And it's, I think too, like early on, there were a lot of issues with, you know, comparisons between various languages where, you know, if you take advantage of certain VB features, you're going to, you know, sacrifice some performance. But mm-hmm. so it's really like, you know, once you get down to apples, you know, the part of the issue is that we end up doing a lot of things for users and they don't even realize they're taking advantage of language features that don't exist or are harder in other languages.
And, so. And that's where, for me, it gets really interesting. Once we move past the syntactic sugar discussions and we move past the it's all IL and the perf. We understand that these are, you know, C#, VB, whatever. These are all, you know, first class languages. But from a language designer perspective, like looking at VB at C# as an example, when the using statement came out and there was this big controversy that this is just a really attractive syntax over try catch finally. Mm-hmm. And people were like, well, that ties the language to the platform too much. It's not a pure language. You're breaking all sorts of rules. And then once the purist moved past that, it seemed like some really cool innovation happened. And it seems to me like VB.NET, what I think of as kind of 1.0 and C# 1.0 were really peers. They offered different flavors of the same thing. But then with like the XML support in VB9 and some of the C# 3.0 stuff, it seems like you guys are taking risks.
Right, right, exactly. We kind of, well, you know, especially for VB, I mean, like, because, yeah, I mean, part of the reason why 1.0 was so similar our version 7 was similar to the 1.0 of C# was that, you know, we really started behind the eight ball in a lot of ways. I mean, because, you know, not only, I mean, like C# kind of had the advantage of starting from a blank slate, whereas we, you know, had to think about language compatibility and all that kind of stuff and sort of carrying it forward.
Yeah, make sure Insta works or
exactly.
I won't use your language.
And so, you know, we've kind of, you know, we spent 7.0 and to some degree 8.0 catching up with, you know, what's going on, you know, the features, like there were things we didn't get to ship in 7.0 we wanted to, that we wanted to when we shipped in 8.0. So with the latest version, we're starting to get to that point where it's like, hey, you know, we actually have time to do features like great features like XML literals where it's like, you know, we can do something different. And also, I mean, we've also, been seeing kind of a, not just externally, but internally a lot of interest in partnering with, you know, working with the VB language. So like, you know, for example, the XML literal stuff actually was a partnership with the team over in the SQL organization that were interested in, you know, having better support for XML on the platform. So
let's talk about that for a minute, because I find that, almost creepy, because I think people have the same experience with link. It's just like, this really should be on inside of quotes, you know, and I wrote up a paper years and years ago that I called a caste system for APIs. And I talked about third class, second class, and first class APIs. And the idea that so much of our world lives inside of these tunneled strings, you know, whether it be XPath or regex or SQL. And then suddenly to see them outside of those strings is really kind of disconcerting. And it makes me wonder how would they do that? How do they get IntelliSense to work? And what's the relationship between IntelliSense and the compiler? And how much voodoo did the compiler have to do to understand that?
Well, it was a fair amount of work. Like, I mean, we definitely had to build, you know, native XML, the, you know, same old XML parsing and scanning technology that every, you know, XML processor has to. But we actually did get a chance to, like, we leveraged as much code. So, like, a lot of the XML IntelliSense work was actually takes advantage of the work that there's an XML editor in Visual Studio. And so we just reused a lot of that code to actually do a lot of the UI work itself. So we're definitely, you know, stealing any code and reusing it that we can. So
how does an idea like that happen? I mean, help me understand. You guys have both been here long enough that you can say that there was a meeting, right? Tell me about the Tuesday when one of you guys or whoever who's not here today said, dude, what if we, what was that meaning like?
Well, XML literals are really interesting because it actually was like, it's like kind of a very long, it's amazing how long-term process, because actually, it started out being prototyped originally in something called C Omega, which was a prototype C# compiler.
Yeah.
Where, and then Eric Meyer, who is an architect here, he prototyped that and he really let, you know, so he was pushing that idea and he actually came to us and said, you know, I really think this is a great idea. We should definitely do it. And he volunteered some resources even to help out. And so they actually did it. They got our compiler code base and they prototyped it. And so then they did a proof of concept. And then, yeah, then there was that kind of, there was the meeting where we kind of sat down and go, okay, you know, what do we think? And, we decided to say, yeah, this actually looks, they did a really compelling demo and it's like, yeah, this is great. And so, I mean, really in some ways it's like, you know, there's like 10 or 15 good ideas in language design that we just keep recycling over,
oh, yeah.
You know, over time. Yeah.
Ultimately, this will become Lisp. And
exactly. Yeah. You know, so it's sort of like, you know, it's really looking at, you know, having people prototype and looking at these features. And then we sort of, okay, what are we going to absorb this time? So
how do you guys balance productivity, like raw productivity, in the kind of like the goal is to get to ultimate expressiveness in zero lines of code, with purity in the computer science kind of sense,
right,
where you kind of say, you know, would Kernighan and Ritchie be proud of us? Sure. Those kind of things. I mean, I assume those thoughts are in the back of your mind.
Yeah. Although it's funny, like, you know, because like with the C# team, I mean, coming from the Kernighan and Ritchie, you know, lineage, I think they're much more concerned about purity than, I mean, BASIC is probably one of the most impure languages over the, you know, over the decades.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that is like something that we explicitly, you know, we definitely prioritize productivity over purity. You know, I mean, there were certainly people who look at the XML literal features and go, ah, you know, how could you bake this into your language? And what if XML ends up not being, you know, useful in the, you know, 20 years from now? And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, that's a risk. But right now it really, if it's going to help people, we're going to go for it, basically.
So those discussions did come up. I mean, somebody said that this is horrific. We can't do that.
Yeah, not so much on the VB team, but definitely in some of the discussions.
Yeah. Like, you know, I think outside.
Right, yeah. Or, you know, when we talked with the C# team about what we were doing, you know, that was, you know, there were people on their team that had that reaction.
Yeah. Some nice kind of back and forth. I know that the word in my 8 weeks at Microsoft now, the word that keeps coming up is this co-opetition.
Yep.
I mean,
yep,
you're working together, but you're competing, and that is supposed to move the ball forward.
Yeah, it's a funny situation because there definitely is that, you know, like we collaborate on all kinds of things and we need, you know, and yet at the same time, there's always that kind of sideways looking at, okay, what are those guys doing? What are we doing? You know, like, you know, trying to one up each other. And that, I think that is healthy in a lot of ways because it definitely pushes each team to be a lot better than it might have been on its own if it had the whole place to itself.
So what is VBX and how does the DLR that is kind of emerging? Everyone's talking about Iron this and Iron that, mm-hmm, you know, Iron Ruby, Iron Lisp, Iron Python. And the DLR is this library, this kind of helper library that makes, I like to say it makes dynamic method even that much more interesting.
Right.
What is VBX? Well, am I saying it right?
Yeah. No, that's, you know, that's a code name we're using for sort of, it started out as a prototyping of how would we support VB on top of the DLR.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been prototyping that for a while now. Actually, we're hoping to have something if we were going to have a PDC, but we ended up not having one.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, you know, what we're interested in is sort of two major ideas of the DLR. Well, three major ideas. One is, you know, the idea of making languages hostable and, you know, running them outside of Visual Studio. And that we're very interested in. I mean, we kind of have a long history of that with like VBScript and VBA and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because I think everyone's wondering, is it time for VB to jump into Office and to jump into the macros? And if I'm going to start using, if I want to exploit all of that VBA knowledge out there and there's just massive amounts of it.
Right,
then
exactly.
VB.net should be that language.
Right. And so, you know, the question is, how do we get there technologically? And the DLR is very interested in that. And the other thing is the dynamic language aspect of it. And, you know, we have dynamic aspects. We're not a dynamic language because I wouldn't say we're fully dynamic language because there are a lot of things that, cannot be done at runtime.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a lot of dynamic aspects. And so the other interesting thing is, you know, where can we absorb those ideas? Cause I mean, there are a lot of wonderful ideas in Ruby and Python. And it's like, you know, this is, you know, I spent a lot of time. In fact, yesterday I spent 2 hours sitting in a room with Jim Hagunin, the architect on the DLR, you know, talking about just these kind of issues, like, you know, what kind of language features do we need? Mm-hmm. And then we also are spending a lot of time talking about technologically how we get there. So right now, kind of VBX is our code name for what we've been prototyping, but, now that we're in the end game for Orcus.
Sure, sure.
We're like figuring out how we actually bring that to a product.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've been learning, and I gave a talk on the MVC, in Vegas last week, that it seems that there's this nice, comfortable sine wave that we're settling into where it's like big, giant release and then little point things that we can make things better. I mean, a lot of cool add-ons came in after Visual Studio 2005 that made it better, whether it be in the form of project templates or Iron Python integration with the thing. So I don't think that we're quote-unquote stuck with 2008 because there's going to be like 2 years of really cool stuff. So I assume whether it be a web download or a service pack or whatever, you'll find some mechanism to get these features out to the people.
Yeah, that'd be the goal. I mean, we don't have solid plans on it yet, but it would be great to be able to sort of disconnect ourselves to some degree from Visual mm-hmm. Studio and not be totally dependent on, you know, oh my God, we got to wait for the next big train to leave the station before we can get some interesting things out. And actually, Paul has been doing some great work with like we've been doing a lot of like power packs and other things like that that have been off cycle. And so it's sort of just taking our existing strategy and even kicking it up a notch, as you are. Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about explain like to the layman like what a dynamic language feature is. I mean, as a VB6 programmer, VB3 programmer myself, I keep thinking, well, it's either option strict or it's not option strict, and that's not the computer science person's perspective. That's just the checkbox person's perspective mm-hmm. from someone who you know, right click project properties, option strict. Mm-hmm. Help me understand the difference.
Well, I mean, the interesting thing is like, you know, that, if you look at dynamic languages like, Python and Ruby, like there's the dynamic aspect and then there are a bunch of other kind of ancillary features that don't necessarily have to do with dynamism per se, but are kind of, you know, people think of as part of the dynamic language. I mean, the core of a dynamic language is just that you can, defer a lot of the processing you would normally do at compile time to runtime. So, mm-hmm. Basically what that really means is you get to leave off a lot of typing. You know, you don't have to be so like right now, like
the VB. You can be lazy.
Yeah, exactly. The VB and C# compilers are a real pain in the ass sometimes because they're real sticklers for all these things matching up, mm-hmm. you know, and, the dynamic languages are really nice because you just have that kind of flow where you just do what you want to do and you don't have to be real formal about it. And it just at runtime, magically everything works and you defer. I mean, a lot of that work is, you know, done at runtime. But then there are a lot of other aspects like, you know, in Python and Ruby making, and we've started moving towards this, like with expression trees, like making, you know, programs as data and being able to manipulate programs.
Right, what they call metaprogramming.
Exactly. Metaprogramming. And we've kind of taken our first little baby tentative step into that world with expression trees and Link. But I mean, I think there's a whole world of possibilities there that we are interested in exploring. Because too, if you look at like some of the things that we do in our language, like, the declarative event handling, like, you know, really that's just kind of metaprogramming that we've built into the compiler, but mm-hmm. it'd be great to open that up and let other people, extend it and be able to ship new libraries that do cool stuff like that. So
one of the thoughts that I always have about the Microsoft developer versus the non-Microsoft developer is that there's always this discussion about comp sci people, computer mm-hmm. science people versus people who are great programmers or have been programmers for years but never went to school. And when I say went to school, I don't necessarily mean they don't have a formal background in things like, I mean, I went to, so I visited MIT, and ultimately went to a community college and then got a state college degree. So I mean, I had my compiler classes and things like that. And I've met people that can code, you know, code me out of, blow me away when it comes to coding, who have never had a class in compiler theory or anything like that. And there's always been this kind of perception that maybe the C curly brace people may have had a more formal background in education than the VB people. Is that a stigma that kind of sticks to VB? Because I'm wondering VB is well into the hardcore. We're getting into lambdas and closures and stuff that is pretty squarely in, well, back in the late 60s, right? Yeah. You know, we're kind of coming all back around. Is there concern that these things won't be made accessible to to people, or is the collective knowledge just being raised?
Well, I think that like when we do these features, like, a lot of it is organized around like it's a. In the most cases, like, you know, like we introduced a whole bunch of advanced features that in the end were all built to support the simple query syntax. In a sense, it's like, the idea that you can sort of have a simple, you can live at a simple level at the top if you, and then as you need to, you dig down into the power. I mean, I think, you know, to your broader question, it's like, you know, about the,
I mean, it's academic, kind of a rambly question. Yeah, I understand, but
the academic, like, you know, academic versus non-academic. I was reading some quote somewhere saying that, you know, programmers are kind of like ducks in the sense that they imprint on the first, you know, little ducks imprint on the first, you know, creature they come across. Yeah, and like, you know, programmers imprint on their first, you know, major language.
Totally.
And so, you know, since C is a big, you know, language in school, you know, maybe people, you know, that go through school, you know, get that.
Well, and another thing is that programmers, the way that you really test to see if someone's a programmer at the fundamental level, if their personality is that of a programmer, is you tell someone that it's not possible. Right. And then see what they can do, right? So like my very first job was getting a Visual Basic application to paint the icon when it was minimized in Program Manager, right? Because you only get the standard VB icon, you know? So I called Dan Appleman and I got the DesaWare controls and I got into the message pump and I started fooling around and I got it to work, you know? So whenever anyone says that VB can't do this or Ruby can't do that, somebody hacks the heck out of it and comes up with an elegant solution. And ultimately they end up using a bunch of advanced features.
Yeah. And, you know, and if you look even back at, you know, VB6, VB5, I mean, there was a very, you know, there was a flourishing guru community that, you know, was just organized around exactly those kind of problems. It's like, you know, how do I do these things? And it's like, here's the chunk of code that'll allow you to do it. And, you know, good, you know, you just cut and paste that.
You were there during this time. Were you freaking out that people were doing these things? You're like, wow, I did not think they'd be able to pull that off.
Actually, I came in right at the end of the, you know, the old VB6 era. But yeah, I mean, it was a little frightening, like some of the things that you could do. I mean, and it was one of, you know, some of the issues as we looked at transitioning to .NET is, I mean, there were a lot of trapdoors in the VB language that allowed you to do some very frightening things. And actually, I mean, even some of the people on our own team did some frightening things with, there was a guy, Matt Curlin, who I always remember, who's like, you know, would do things that you should not have, you know, legally been able to do, but he would find a way to do it. So
well, rather than asking for features now, people are making them happen. Like I find that the XML, expressiveness in VB is just so nice, but I don't want to ship an extra DLL. So I went and came up with a whole post build step in MS build to go and call IL merge. So then now I can use VB in this class and then, you know, kind of squish it in. And then people said, well, you know, net module support has been in .NET for years and years. It's just never been sourced into the Visual Studio shell. And I guess people are starting to talk about that again. Well, maybe it's time to give that. You know, we didn't want to give it to people before. It was too complicated, too confusing. Right. Maybe mixed language projects, maybe it's time for that, you know? Yeah. Do you guys think about that? I mean, do you talk to people about that? Or is it, well, we have our space, we have our language, we're going to stay?
Well, it's a constant struggle. I mean, definitely, like, because we're the VB team, you know, we tend to think about, I mean, the VB issue. I mean, like, you can see it not just with net modules, but even like when you have multi-language solutions, even there are places where it's kind of like things don't quite fit together between the languages. Mm-hmm. And that definitely is a constant struggle. But yeah, it is. I think the longer we go, the more pressure we get, even internally, to kind of support these mixed scenarios and really be, one of the things that, we were just in a meeting the other day and somebody's like, you know, why can't I do a rename across multiple language projects in a single solution? It's like, you know.
Oh, like a refactor?
Yeah, like a refactor. If I want to rename something, it only go, you know, you have a lot of issues with that. And it's like, yeah, you know, that's true. And so let's start trying to figure out how to address this problem. So, yeah. But it's this constant tension because, of course, you know, on the one hand, the languages are similar in a lot of ways. And on the other hand, there are a lot of differences. And so it's hard to build things that work, you know, that abstract fully the two languages. So
how far ahead do you guys plan? Like, do you have a sense that, well, gosh, 2015, this is kind of where I see Visual Basic going, or do you only go a couple of years because the community is ultimately dictating what happens? I mean, I know I'm on the VB Insiders list and these guys are passionate. I mean, they have, you know, okay, here's what we need in the next version. I mean, they're giving you specs almost. Like, right. This is what we plan to see, people. So, I mean, how much of it is your guys' exploration of the potential of the language versus just taking feedback from the community?
I think it's, I don't know. It's balanced. It's definitely balanced. You know, there's not just with the community, but there's also the larger trends in the, like, you know, dynamic language and script stuff. I mean, that wasn't even on the radar, you know, 5 years ago. And so, you know, to some degree, the reality is always going to come in and rearrange our priorities. But we do always have like a long, I think probably, thinking out at least a couple of releases. I mean, if you look at the Link stuff, mm-hmm. I mean, the genesis of that was probably, I mean, I have emails of discussions from, you know, 2003.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, it's been incubating for a long period of time, you know, to get here. So, you know, if you have to think ahead.
That's the thing that's blown me away. Cause I mean, I've been kind of in the Microsoft industry, you know, for, I don't know, maybe 15, 16 years now. And I got into the things like the MVP program, and there's the kind of I felt I was inside. And then now 8 weeks into the company, I didn't know anything. We are planning this all sorts of crazy stuff. And I had no idea it takes so long.
Right.
The release of the source code, you guys are going to be involved in that too. We'll be mm-hmm. able to step into, the .NET framework, which I assume includes Microsoft.VisualBasic.whatever.
Not in the initial release, I think, but I think that we're working on getting that in is mm-hmm. in a reasonable time frame. Yeah.
That took 2 or 3 years yeah. from the moment the guy had the idea until it actually yeah. came out. And that's accelerating. I understand that I think Zune was like some number of months from yeah. concept to execution. So that's really interesting that you have to pay attention to what's coming out from the community.
Yeah.
People keep saying that ultimately every language is going to become Lisp. And a lot of these old timers and the long beards are saying, here we go again.
Yep. Yep.
It's dynamic languages again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Well, you know, and two, like it's also, the technology has to come. Sometimes the technology has to catch up with, you know, the design ideas. And, you know, I mean, like, for example, with Link, it's like, there were so many pieces that kind of had to be put into place, you know, like, you know, it was not possible without generics and, you know, lots of other things. It's sort of, you know, that's what these long cycles sometimes is about. It's just, you know, getting everybody lined up in the right direction to actually make it happen. So
cool. Well, I really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your day to talk to me. And this has been another episode of Hansel Minutes. We'll see you again next week.